The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Following an apparently constructive meeting with the hospitality industry yesterday, the government has agreed to review COVID supports, but a follow-up letter suggests that not everybody was happy. To talk about all of this, I'm joined on the line by Elena Fitzgerald-Kane, President of the Irish Hotels Federation. But first, as the Cabinet is meeting this morning, the storm is topping the agenda. We're also joined on the line by Daniel McConnell, a political editor with the Irish Examiner. Danny, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, they will talk about the storm, but they seem to have kind of done the right thing. Norma Foley closing schools in the orange zone, you know, because they are likely to go red and you don't want to put children in danger. And other than that, well, we're at nature's mercy.
We certainly are. And I think previous experience, Pat, has told and I suppose advised the government to be cautious on these circumstances. I think the feeling very much last night was that, yes, while a large number of counties are designated orange, or certainly were last night, there was a very real threat that they could move into the red zone overnight, and that would be a catastrophic position to be in, to be kind of cancelling schools right at the last minute. So I think, you know, the prudent course of action was to cancel them last night. I think, you know, the weather here in Dublin is inclement, but certainly down in the southern more regions of the country, it seems to be even more extreme than that. So I think it probably was the right call. I think, you know, those making the decisions are often have to weigh this in the balance. You know, do they go and take an overly cautious route only to be proved that they were kind of almost, you know, wrapping us in cotton wool to such a degree that it was unnecessary? Or do they do what they've done now and take a preemptive course? And I think, you know, ultimately, so far, I think they've been proven correct, but we'll know, I suppose, when the storm passes. But as you say, the storm is sort of dominating the Cabinet agenda this morning. We know that Dara O'Brien, the Housing Minister, who has responsibility for the government's response to emergencies such as this, will be out at lunchtime to kind of give an update as to where we find ourselves, as to whether or not there's going to be any extension to these conditions in tomorrow or not.
Squeals of delight from the school goers around the country when they found out they had an unexpected day off. Some schools, of course, organised to actually resume remote teaching, but many schools just saying, look, it's only a day. Let's just ride this one out without putting ourselves under undue pressure.
Yeah, and I think a lot of schools are going to take the opportunity to almost take a breath, because obviously they've been through the ringer in the last 2 weeks or so in relation to all the COVID measures and the additional COVID measures, mask wearing, etc. like that. And certainly speaking to parents in my own kids' schools, I mean, I think there's a sense that, yes, it's a welcome kind of relief for a one-day break or whatever like that. I think it gets trickier if it goes into day two or day three.
Yeah. In any event, the ability of schools to catch up on a day's lost teaching is not a bother. So we're not going to worry too much about that. Now, the question of COVID, and we have all sorts of issues. I mean, mixed messaging when you have, for example, Michael McGrath saying the restrictions introduced by the government on Friday will be lifted if concerns about the Omicron variant do not materialise. That's the last thing you should be saying, really. You should kind of take it all very seriously and not give people a glimmer of hope that things are going to change.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand what Michael McGrath was saying in terms of, because, I mean, and I suppose it was central to the big row that happened over the weekend, was that these latest restrictions were brought in on a precautionary basis. And I suppose Michael McGrath was making the point, well, if that precaution does not turn out to be merited, then obviously the government will move pretty quickly. And there are already calls from the business sector, you know, right-wing economists, everybody else, like saying, listen, you know, if there's no basis for these measures to remain in place, they need to be removed pretty quickly. And I think he was just responding to those calls. But ultimately, obviously, on the flip side, you've got others fearing that, you know, Omicron could be worse than expected. And obviously, in that scenario, and given the experience of this government and its very cautious approach to all of this, if there's any sense that Omicron is worse than feared, then unfortunately, I do think we're in for a longer period of restrictions than has already been articulated. Now, the Taoiseach was out yesterday at Dublin Castle, making it very clear that as of now, the plan is to get to January 9th. That's the next scheduled review and deadline. But, you know, I would think that if, say, international data kind of comes over in the next week or two, then I certainly think there could be some scaling back of the restrictions as outlined by Michael McGrath.
Now, the question of gagging Neffet, I'm not sure what the cabinet will have to say about all of this. I mean, the formal explanation is that they want a coherence of messaging and that sometimes you can get contrarian views. And also the preemption of what the government might decide when Neffet advice to the government is made known before the government actually makes a decision on it.
Yeah, and this is something that people like me have been calling for in terms of this idea of having almost dual governments or two separate powerhouses trying to dictate the public narrative in relation to COVID-19 has been chaotic at times, has been confusing. And I think, you know, the events of last Thursday night when essentially its key ministers who were all generally at the heart of government in the Dáil chamber and getting asked about leaks from the Neffet letter, which they haven't seen, that was seen as intolerable. The fact that they had to move a cabinet meeting to last Friday in order to bring announce the restrictions that side of the weekend rather than today as normal was seen as a having to try and kind of correct the sense of fear or concern that may have been circulating around. But so there was a great deal of annoyance around the leaking of that letter. But also as well, I think a wider point was made that, you know, it's intolerable that you could have a minister on, say, your show, Pat, or on News Talk, and then have a member of Neffet speaking on another station and giving either contrary advice that's not consistent with the government's position, etc., like that. And ultimately, what they're trying to do is put some shape on the message. And I think we saw that during Brexit. We saw the government speaking with one voice in Brexit, and it was coherent and it worked. Second of all, and in relation to the point I made again over the weekend, was, you know, having access, such wide access to our public health officials made sense in the early part of the pandemic. We're not, you know, as people like Dan O'Brien have argued, we're not really in a pandemic anymore. It's now endemic. We're now out of the emergency phase. It's now time for the advisors to essentially take a backseat and let the government, who we have elected, run the show. And ultimately, I think all of that is part of what's happened in the last few days.
You know, one of the things we talked about earlier on in this pandemic was that maybe we should have a minister dedicated to COVID. That minister could be properly briefed on everything and make it his or her duty to be utterly informed about the science, about studies elsewhere in the world and so on. When you've got a minister for health who's got so many other jobs to do, it's not surprising that sometimes you get this mixed messaging because simply they can't keep up with the latest science, the latest developments. They simply can't do it. And maybe they're not getting that information from their officials.
It reminds me again of Pat during the crash when we were kind of talking about, you know, did Brian Lennon, the late Brian Lennon, have too much on his plate, you know, in dealing with not only the fiscal crisis but also the banking crisis and whether or not we needed a minister for banking. The argument at that stage was that to actually set up that ministry or to set up that portfolio would have taken ages because you would have had to essentially transfer responsibilities from all other departments into one. And it was just the system didn't want that. It was too much hassle, didn't want to. And we're getting a similar sort of response to that now, that idea if you're taking responsibilities off one minister and to relocate them elsewhere, it can take many months for that to happen. So therefore, it's best to leave it in, you know, the centre houses of the Department of Health and the Department of An Taoiseach. I think what you've probably alluding to in your question there as well, Pat, is that what you've seen is a very hands-on approach from the Department of An Taoiseach in relation to the running of all things health and education in recent months. And what you've seen is micromanaging from the Taoiseach's office in a lot of areas, much to the annoyance of the two other departments, I get the sense. But whether or not matters are being sufficiently covered because of the volume of information and, I suppose, events that are coming and anybody, there probably is maybe some scope to maybe bolster the Minister for Health with maybe another junior minister with specific responsibilities that you could delegate very quickly, or take some of the day-to-day health stuff off Stephen Donnelly's desk and let him take a more COVID-focused role. That may be an option, but certainly no one's pushing that idea, you know, at the heart of government just yet.
Okay, in terms of any further restrictions, obviously they're holding a watching brief at the moment to see how Omicron will develop. But for instance, you know, some of the wedding guidelines, we talked yesterday about it might be helpful to some couples that a vaccine cert mandate would be put in for weddings. Also, what do you do? You have tables of six is the instruction, but most weddings will have tables of 10, and that looks like it's still okay to continue. Again, it's kind of mixed messaging, isn't it?
It is, but I think they've always made an exemption, Pat, for weddings. I mean, we've always known that they've essentially kind of given a recognition that weddings are that very special day in people's lives. So there's been a kind of a different set of rules almost. And anything I've heard is, you know, that those kind of guidelines around six per tables won't necessarily apply on those, you know, for weddings going ahead. Now, that's all subject to change. But I think the government would be very loath to start clamping down again on wedding numbers and all the rest of it, just because I think there is that, as I said, people have made plans to, you know, as I've known myself and everyone knows, when you plan a wedding, it's extremely expensive. And to kind of start unpicking those at the last minute is the very last thing anybody wants to do. And I don't think any government would ever want to do that either.
Danny, thank you very much for joining us. Daniel McConnell, political editor with the Irish Examiner. Elena Kane, Fitzgerald Kane, president of the Irish Hotels Federation, listening to that conversation. The government has made some moves to try and help those who are affected by the latest restrictions, Elena. But it's not enough, according to the sector.
No, Pat. Good morning to you and to your listeners. I suppose, look, we've had a tsunami of cancellations over the last few weeks, even preceding, I suppose, the restrictions, because the narrative, I suppose, suggested that, you know, we all had to restrict our social interaction and that. And initially, the cancellations we saw were events-led, you know, corporate, social. But now we find ourselves in a situation where it's kind of filtering into every aspect of what we do. So, like, we have 2.3 million of it rooms, less, sorry, 2.3 million less rooms sold in December to February of this current period versus 2019. So the impact is profound. It's a crisis of scale. And I suppose what we're looking for is that the response will reflect just that scale and the scalability of the livelihoods involved. There's 270,000 people working in tourism, you know. So,
Now, the idea that, you know, the pub will be restored to what it was for people who are signing on to the pub now because they've been affected by the restrictions. Those who are still on the pub have to remain on the lower level. But you can understand that in a way because your sector is, you know, when things were looking good, was crying out for workers and couldn't get them. So the idea that because people lose their jobs now in your sector because of the cutbacks which are necessary, they obviously deserve, if you like, the pub to be restored. But those who didn't bother getting out of bed, they should remain. They should not get a bonus because jobs were there and they were not taken up.
I suppose for Pat, what's important to us actually is that investment that you see being put into pub is mirrored in the EWSS. And Budget 22 set out that the EWSS was to be scaled back in December 1st, which has happened. It was a 42% decrease. But that was based on the premise of a fuller reopening, a reopening that never materialised. And now here we are, two sets of restrictions later, you know, facing into our off-peak season. Like as it stands right now, in January and February, there's only 13%, which is 1 in 10 of all hotel rooms occupied. And this is after substantial losses in tourism, you know, since the beginning of the pandemic. So I suppose what we're calling for is that the EWSS is restored to November levels. We also have an anomaly within the EWSS, whereby if somebody doesn't qualify for December, they're automatically precluded from qualifying for the first 4 months of next year. And that's our off-peak period. And that does not reflect the seasonality nor the scalability of you know, what's happening in our sector.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us. We hope that the government then will react to your concerns, Elena, and adjust in an appropriate way, because obviously you want businesses to get through all of this and be there for us all at the end of it. Elena Fitzgerald Kane, president of the Irish Hotels Federation, thank you very much for joining us.